Warm welcome, Chandididi, soon to the States. So our next program is Adapting to a World in Despair. And I think that she is the best possible person to share thoughts on that, because I think everyone knows Chandididi, so let's not go into the titles. We know her, isn't it? Even the new ones. And it's quite amazing how her journey actually began as a child. And she has been living like naturally the Brahmin life since the childhood, and the mother became a Brahmin, and then she surrendered when she was 19 years old. And as we know, she has been like a couple with Daddy Changi. So wherever Daddy was, there was always somewhere Sister Chanti. And Sister Chanti is really someone who is very angelic and always humble, never trying to get a position, and always saying Haji to whatever service comes in front of her. So it is a great honor to have her with us, and she will explain about this topic, share her thoughts for half an hour. And after half an hour, Sister Gitte from Finland, she is the national coordinator and also my close service companion. She has been with Baba soon 30 years, so she will come and ask some tough questions. So, warm welcome. Over to you.
Om Shanti. When Baba's children see the state of the world, yes, sometimes we get affected by some emotion of sorrow, seeing so much suffering, but yet it's never a state of despair, because we know what's happening, we know what the future holds, and so for us to adapt to the world as it is today is not such a big issue, because Baba has been preparing us for a long time, and the understanding of the eternity of the soul, the understanding of the eternity of the cycle, the understanding of God's power and how God's power works, that enables us to deal with whatever is going on out there. The only time that I see Brahmins in a state of despair is when they feel that they're not able to cope with their own samskaras. I've never seen Brahmins in a state of despair because of the samskaras of people they're surrounded by, and that may be challenging, but I think for many there comes a point where you've been on the journey for a long time and you've been trying your best, and yet somehow things are not changing inside. And by now you know that it's not someone else's fault. You know that whatever your reactions and your responses are because of what's going on inside of you. And so given all of that, then the way to be able to deal with that world of despair, I think, is to continue to have faith in Baba. Baba found me, chose me, made me belong to him, made me an instrument. And so Baba is always right. Baba knew what he was doing when he found me. When I said yes to Baba, I belong to you, or you belong to me, I had no idea of what I was offering. But Baba knew exactly what was going on when he found me and said, "Yes, child, you belong to me." And so the faith that Baba knows best is something that pulls us out of that state of despair and you begin to see the light, and you again begin to make effort to come back to the stage that you want to have and that you know that Baba wants you to have also. But adapting to the world of sorrow outside to such an extent that they really feel a state of despair, there is no solution. And I think certainly people within the environmental movement are feeling this, and I've been in touch with them for a long time, and they really feel that it's not possible to turn the clock back. Why? Because they feel that the tipping points that we heard about for the last 5-6 years, maybe longer, scientists were talking about tipping points where once those changes happen, then they're irreversible. So when I first spoke to these two very eminent scientists, and they said that there's about 8 tipping points and we're about to cross some of them. Those same scientists through the years have been sending cautions, and they see that the governments aren't ready to listen. Rather, the last few COPs have gone the opposite direction because they've been held in petrostates, and you know from the outset that things are not going to go the way you want. And so I see how within that movement there is a state of absolute despair, that there's nothing we can do about it. And the way that we're trying to help them now is to remind them to come to meditation and find the goodness within. But the rest of the world, I think the last week's events have really brought people to the point of despair. And so what can we do for them? First is, to what extent is my faith holding up and I'm able to be stable? Am I able to not be shaken by all the things going on? And when it's something far away, it's a little bit easier. But when you know people in that country, when you know people who are close to you and are in that country, now that's when it's very easy to start shaking. There are 2 people here, no, more than 2. I noticed earlier it was about 4 or 5 from Iran. And they have relatives there. And the sister who serves there knows that group, the people who hear Murali every day. She knows them all pretty well. And so to be able to send out a message of hope and to be able to give them strength and support is not so easy. I remember during the time that the national coordinator for Israel was here, and that being the attack on Israel some years ago, 3 years ago was it? Something like that. And she was making sure that people here were constantly online with people there, so that the Brahmins were being given hope and support and reminders of Baba. But at this point, it's difficult even to do that with people in Iran because the networks just aren't open. And this time, of course, it's not just 1 or 2 countries, it was 3 countries, now it's spread to more than 11. How many exactly, I don't know at the moment because it keeps increasing. We can't say to people, it's time for the end. What we can say to people is that it's time for a new beginning. And I think that's easier to digest than saying it's the end. And especially when we share with them something spiritual and they begin to understand something spiritual. Generally, people don't even talk about the soul. Never mind God. I know that the Latin countries, you can talk about God very naturally and easily. But in most other countries, you can't. And so at least if they first begin to understand a little bit about soul and the eternity, immortality of the soul, then perhaps there can be a chance in which souls can be uplifted. And if we just simply talk about the cycle in terms about it's time to go home because there's a new beginning, then that's definitely something that gives hope to others. And so when we're teaching Brahmins, of course the new way of teaching is that you don't tell them things, but you bring them down a journey so that they respond to you and they're able to give you the things that they need to be told. But they're talking about those things, so that's the best way of teaching. But when you're not teaching Brahmins, when you're with others who are not Brahmins, then at that moment I think even to talk about the home is not so easy. But you can just remind them that the soul is eternal and maybe do a little experiment with them so that they can feel that the soul is here and it's a shining star and it is eternal. It's beyond this body. It's using the body, but it's not part of the anatomy of this. It is something quite separate. And I think if you do it with gentleness, with love, with respect, many, many could come to that understanding. I don't need to adapt myself in terms of the question of despair or what's going on. I just need to hold Baba's hand and just walk the path that I've been walking on. And for those who are new to the journey, I know you get special help from Baba, and with Baba's help you'll be able to deal with whatever you need to, because the powers, the virtues, everything is available. And when I think about the role of a mother and how a mother anticipates what it is an infant needs, then the mother is already prepared, and the mother intuitively knows, or the child's not able to communicate in words, but the mother's able to understand what the child wants, and so the mother's able to provide that. And I see how God, the mother, does that with all of us. Even in times before this particular situation, I've seen how at times Baba's given a lot of courage and you don't know what it is you're going to deal with. But then as the situation comes, then you realize that it was a very special feeling of Baba's power and strength that Baba gave that morning, whether it was through the Murali or through yoga. But Baba gave that experience and you were able to sail through whatever was to happen through the day. So you didn't know, but Baba knew. And Baba gave it to you even before the scene came in front of you, so that you were ready. So Baba, the mother, definitely knows what it is children need. And I'm mentioning Baba's new children especially. I want to talk about Baba's mature children in a minute. But the new children might feel, well, we haven't had the same sort of time to fill ourselves in the way that some others have had. But Baba knows what you need, and Baba will definitely give you that. And then for the mature souls, you know that Baba has been preparing you through the Muralis, through yoga, through chats, conversations, and you knew that this time was going to come and it's going to get more intense. It's just the beginning. And so you knew what it is you needed to do inside, having felt that power come from Baba, and it was a preparation. And so when the scene actually comes in front of you, you say, Baba told me, and I understood and I knew it. And so for new people, it's our stage that's going to help them. And our stage generates vibrations, and vibrations will definitely help them also. When you're calm and stable and filled with conviction and faith, then just the tone of your voice, just your presence, maybe you're not even saying very much, but all of this creates that vibration in which they feel comfortable, they feel secure, they feel safe. And so I think it's not so much convincing them of anything, but just being Baba's child, being who you are, and letting them feel those vibrations, and then they'll know that it's okay, it's going to be fine. Now, how is it going to be fine? They don't understand that yet. But the more they're able to be aware of your vibrations and in your presence, the more they'll be ready to trust what it is you're saying to them. I remember a situation where a sister was in Greece, and there'd been an earthquake just earlier in Turkey, and Greece had sent help to Turkey, even though they're not usually so close friends. And now this time there was an earthquake happening just outside of Athens, and the sister there, the BK, was working on the first floor of a publishing company, so ground floor and then first, and people around her knew that she was a BK, that she was a meditator. And when the rumble started and things started to shake, in a very natural way, they looked towards her, and she was sitting at her desk very calmly. She wasn't rushing to get out of the door, she wasn't rushing to go down the stairs. And so just her presence, and she didn't have to say to people, just stay where you are, but just the fact she was staying there, they all also sat down and were calm and peaceful. And after a few minutes, then it was time to go down and be outside. If they tried to rush out and go down the stairs, can you imagine? You're walking down the stairs and the earth is rumbling. Well, that's the last thing you need to do. And so stay where you are. If you're able to get out and it's flat, fine, but don't try to come downstairs. So one little example of how one person's calmness and stability was able to help others. You all heard the story of New York and the Twin Towers, and our dear brother leading people, about 60 people, to safety from this, I think it was the 62nd floor. How did that happen? Just the calmness, the connection with Baba, and the conviction that with Baba's help, it's going to be okay. So if you've got lots of different examples about these things, another little story that you may or may not have heard. In the 80s, there was a big story in Bhopal, and the story was about this chemical industry and gas coming out, and it was toxic, and the whole city was absolutely in chaos. And this 18-year-old girl who was living in a one-room apartment, which was part of this housing complex, and that she was looking after the center there. And she wasn't normally staying there, but if she'd come there for the day, every night she'd go back to the main center. And in the evening, this gas started pouring out, and it was poison. It was clear that there was a problem, and she didn't know where to go, what to do, who to ask. And so what she did was just sit for a few minutes in meditation, and then what she understood that she had to do was to, she could hear all the noise outside, all the chaos outside. She didn't know how to get to the center. So she, what she did was she covered her head with a blanket, and she just went into the blanket and she slept. And when she woke up, it was quieter, but the gas was still all around. But what she then decided at that moment to do was, they'd been trying to reach her from the center, but it wasn't possible. But at that point then she decided now it was time to go, and she got to the center safely. And afterwards she was told by people who know about these things that what she did was absolutely the right thing. If she'd try to run, she'd be breathing in more of the poison. And she decided to stay. Baba's touching, she stayed. And not only did she not run, but she covered her head. Now, you don't normally cover your head with a blanket before you go to sleep, but somehow, because of the smell, she decided, I don't want to smell this anymore. So she just covered her head, and letting the body just calm down and the metabolism just becoming very slow. And it was probably what saved her life. So, as I say, many stories of Brahmins being safe. Somebody asked a very interesting question just a few hours ago. And they said, well, are we thinking about the fact that Brahmins should continue to live? And I said, no, it's not a question of that. When it's time to go, it's time to go. But you'll have been preparing for that, because the detachment of soul from body and being able to step out of the body, how long have you been practicing this? You've been practicing this since day one. You heard the knowledge of soul, I'm detached from the body, and this is the practice you started. And so the more you practice this even today, the more you're going to be able to just detach, and then whatever happens to the body. You don't want to take this body. You can't take this body home. You can't take this to Satyuk. And so it's the soul that matters. So for however long I need to be in the body, I'll be here. But when it's time to go, it'll be without distress, without suffering. It'll be with Baba's light, with Baba's love. And so the more preparation I make on the inner level, external preparations, we've been through stories about that, and whatever we have we can share at the end, yes, fine. But we're not just thinking about survival of the body, we're thinking about the immortality of the soul and preparing the soul for the next chapter, the next phase. And so just take Baba's signals from the Muralis, and that's your preparation. And in terms of helping others, the stage that you have is what they'll pick up. Vibrations are very tangible. And so they'll pick up those vibrations. They'll be able to look you in the eye, and you'll be able to give them drishti. And they'll be seeking comfort. They'll be seeking confidence, some security, and your drishti will be able to give them that stability and calmness in which there won't be any panic or fear. But I'm also sure that there will come a moment when we will be able to tell people it's time to go home. Why? Because the last memory of souls is of a sweet place up there. They think heaven is up there. And it's not heaven, it's the home. But they don't know heaven, but they do know that there is something good up there. And so your awareness of the home, when Baba tells us, remember the home, remember the soul, remember God, remember the home, it's for me, I'm preparing to go home, and the more I remember the home, the easier it is to play my part here with love and compassion, but also with detachment. Without the understanding of home, it would be difficult to see the scenes that are going on. But I know this is the drama, but our home is there. And so when I'm remembering the home and I'm aware of how close the home is, it's not far away, it's one thought away, and I can experience the home. And in the final moments, that stage of being able to fly is something that will carry me home. But for others, there'll come a time when we'll be able to tell them there's a world of silence, a world of peace. And maybe we start experimenting with that now, in the sense that people who come to us, we can help them with that preparation. If they're coming to us and they're asking, well, tell us what is Gyan, what is the truth, we can tell them about the home and help them experience it with meditation. And so people want to have an experience. And we've had, all of us, so many, many experiences that keep us with Baba and give us that faith that, yes, this is the truth, this is God. And so the more we experiment with these ideas with others when they come to us, when we are out there, you can't suddenly start talking about the home. But when they're coming to us, then yes, we can tell them that there is a home to return to. It is time to go home, and they'll be grateful for that information. And it'll give them a lot of comfort and stability in whatever situation they're dealing with. So these are some of the thoughts to share with you. Many of you have been in very challenging situations, life and death, danger, and so your own experience of that will help you serve others who are at that moment in a similar situation. So opening up now for the next chapter, for this evening, not next chapter. Actually, somebody said to me, you know how Brahma Baba used to say when he heard news on the radio, Baba heard 3 minutes news every morning, just world service and on the radio and what's going on. And so when the news was hot, he'd say, the children are having good yoga. And when the news was a bit cool and calm, then Baba would say, what happened? The children have forgotten to have powerful yoga. And so what's been happening certainly over the last period in the integrated retreat was every evening powerful yoga. So one of the Bharatvasis told me that it must have been all the yoga that you guys were doing. So a step closer to the home.
Om Shanti.
Om Shanti Gita.
Yeah, thank you, Shanti Ben. And also Om Shanti to my sweet brothers and sisters here. It's nice to be with the family. And thank you for Shanti Ben for answering all my questions what I had already. Yeah, so we improvised something. It was really beautiful. I like this that you made a clear separation how you behave with people with Gyan, with the family, and like you said, it's not a big deal for us. I've seen how our sisters and brothers are reacting for the news. They're like, is it happening now? Is it now? And it's quite cool. But of course, if you have your family there in the middle of bombings, how to find the words and what is the right way to reach for them. But Shanti Ben, do you have any concerns when you look at the word?
I have concerns about sorting things out now. in the immediate situation. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes I think that, well, it's Baba's job to sort them out. And then I say, well, okay, I'll do the best that I can, and what I can't do, I'm going to leave to Baba. But I'm not going to sit back and say, I'm not concerned about all this. I only have to think about my own stage. So my concerns are more about the immediate situation. But in terms of the long term, no, I'm very comfortable that drama is taking us in the direction that it needs to. And I just have to trust Baba and drama more and more and more. And it's all fine.
Wonderful. Thank you. Baba says that we should be ever ready. And here is our beautiful angelic army. And what do you think? What marks would you give for us in the scale of 1 to 10? How ready are we?
I think it's individual, definitely. Mm-hmm. Some more than others. But I think if I were to assess the family generally, I'd say it's probably around 7 or 8.
Mm, that's very good. And yeah, that sounds good. You are gentle to us. And is there something when you have seen sisters and brothers are in affected areas that are affected by war, is there some secret elements which sisters and brothers are more prepared than others? Can you say some elements where they are shaking more and where you find incredible stability?
I think where there's a good relationship with their colleagues and people around them, then that's very solid. And so there's a trust that they have that whatever happens, we are with Baba, we are with each other. And in some families, spiritual families, there isn't that level of collaboration and support to be able to create that bond of trust. And so it's not just personal transformation, but when Baba was speaking so much about unity last month, every single day we were getting those messages, the Avyakt signals, unity, unity. And so I think that that was part of the preparation for what's going on today.
Thank you. So we will all check our immediate family when we get back home and polish the last bits what's still there. So that's definitely something we are going to do. And the way you spoke about it, how it gives you power in the final moments, if we can talk about final moments, that we have a good relationship with others. All right?
Can I add something to that?
Yes.
There was something that Dadiji had said a long time ago, and it's been coming to my mind quite frequently recently. It would have been in the 80s, and there was a group of about 30 teachers with her in Pandit Bhavan, in the history hall. And this was after lunch, and the daddies used to have fruits after lunch. And so sometimes they'd invite us to a fruit party. So it was one of those fruit parties, and it was about 30 of us there. And daddy asked the question, what are your present efforts? Which is a simple enough question that you get asked from time to time. And so everybody was sharing. And then one sister said to Dadi, she was a bit shy, but she plucked up the courage and said, Dadi, I'm not sure I should ask you this, but I'm going to ask you anyway. Dadi, what are your efforts at this moment? And Dadi said, yes, you can ask me. You don't have to worry about that. And Dadi said, I think about the time when I'm ready to go. And at that moment, there should only be good wishes and blessings from everyone's hearts. She used the word dua, so the good feelings, good wishes. And so I'm making sure that at this moment, in every encounter that I have, What is it that is happening here? Is it something that's going to bring me their good wishes and their blessings, or is it anything else? And so I'm thinking that if that's been the quality of our preparation on the inner level, then the quality of relationships will also be very, very pure and elevated. And so that support will very definitely carry me forward. Mm-hmm. And just imagine Daddy dealing with, and by then already Pandav Bhavan had expanded. We hadn't yet got to the point of Gyansrova and Shantivan, but from the 30 residents I saw in the 60s, now it was certainly several hundred residents. And so it had already been a big shift. So, and Dadi was interacting with hundreds of people on a daily basis. So can you imagine, every person I interact with, am I able to receive their blessings?
Oh, so beautiful. But I don't know, do you feel like everybody is giving blessings to you? I have the feeling that everybody is giving blessings to you.
No, at the moment, no.
Yeah. So if there is some area or person and you've been trying to send so many good wishes long time, but still it's not good yet, what can we do?
Again, a situation with Dadiji, and Baba said to Dadi that this is a completely different scene, and by then it's in the meditation hall, and so it would be a few years later, and Dadiji would always, we'd all be sitting on the ground. There were a few chairs by the sides, and really elderly folk would be on those. And so Dadiji was sitting cross-legged in the front, and Baba was just, you know, in the meditation hall. Now you have a little platform. At that time it was just flat. And so it was a little gaddi. And so Baba said to her, it was about taking blessings from everyone. And then Dadiji said to Baba, what if you're trying very hard and yet you're not able to get blessings from some individuals? And Baba said to her, there'll always be the margin of 5%, and Baba will be able to help you with that. But you should make the effort. But if it's 5% who don't have that same feeling, Baba will still say, you've done well.
Okay.
So 5%.
We can do that calculation.
And there was a very interesting thing that Baba said just a few weeks ago, and that was a little bit different, but it was still, Baba's talking about how if Baba sees that 90% effort has been made intensely, sincerely, it'll be God's grace, and you'll get 10% more, and you'll pass with honor. So that's nice to know, right? There's an extra 10% that Baba can give you, but only if you've been making consistent, intense effort.
How do I know that I'm making the best effort? Because we have this inner critic many times that is telling us that, oh, you are a loser and it's not looking good, and all these voices. Is there any clear checking point to see that this is my best it can be for up to 90%? Is there anything?
I think that when these critical voices are going on, it's still the insecurity and the lack of faith in myself. So earlier I was talking about faith in Baba and faith in Rama, but knowing that the right thing's going to happen and so on. But I also need to have faith in myself. I'm Baba's child, and with Baba's help, I'm going to be able to change to my Sattva Pradhan stage. So, you know, Baba tells us so often in the Murali, it comes up nearly every day, you are the deity souls. You are the Brahmins who are going to become the deities. So if I believe that, I am that deity soul. And so there has to come a point in my effort making when that is really something stable. I am a deity soul, and I used to be Sattva Pradhan, and those Sattva Pradhan sanskars are still there, and I just have to emerge them. So I have to get rid of that. Checking yourself is different to criticizing yourself. And so this morning I was remembering Dadi Gulzar a lot. We're approaching her day very soon. And we'd asked Dadi, what is it you're making effort for? And Dadi said, I'm just giving attention to the quality of my thoughts, Dadi Gulzar. That's it. It's not hard work. You don't have to roll up your sleeves and say, let me get on with it. But just giving attention to the quality of my thinking. So that's real effort. Then the words and the actions and the behavior, everything's going to change. And from Dadi's face, you could always sense that she was in a place of deep introversion and calmness. We used to see her smile a lot, and we used to sometimes hear laughter, but most of the time it was a very sweet, gentle smile, and you knew that her thoughts were pure and elevated. And so when you were in physical company with her, again you would feel that power of silence from her. You wouldn't feel that she's agitated or she's worried or anxious or anything. Many, many different situations where I saw her, absolutely a pillar of stability when things were not as they should be. But she was totally calm. And just imagine just giving attention to the quality of your thinking. And yes, you can judge whether you're moving fast or it's slow, and how far you are from the target.
Yeah, there's something, maybe these angelic practices we do. We had a workshop with yogis some week ago, and it's really beneficial to see your elevated form and just check how far are you from that. It's actually quite easy to feel those golden aged feelings and that happy soul that is completely carefree. But yes, so there is a gap still. There's a gap for that. What would you think Dadi would say to the world today?
One sentence that she used in 2001 when the Twin Towers had fallen. She sent out a message of remembering God, remembering peace, things like this. But then she used one sentence that I've never forgotten. You must never take sides. Just stay impartial. And so today also, who is right, who is wrong? Everything is cloaked with so many different layers. It's impossible to penetrate and say right or wrong. Or on the other side, you can say everyone is right. But you can't take sides. And so I think Dadi would remind us of that. They say that for a yogi is about pleasure, is above pleasure and pain. And so it's a description, there's a whole song that we have in Hindi, which goes something like that. But this point that I have to be above the battle that's going on between this side and that side, and other people saying this, you know how things go on, and you get into a tussle about all of that. And a yogi means being able to be above it, and to know that there's a secret in the drama that people down here don't know, and if I stay up above, connected with God, I will be able to understand the secret that is moving forward and carrying us home and carrying us to Satyug. truly to liberation and liberation in life. So I think the Dadis cultivated this awareness of not taking sides, of being up above. And so the Yajna was able to be stable through whatever it is that came. And for us to learn to do the same, whether in family turmoil or whether in situations of the world, it's applicable in both, that I mustn't take sides.
Such a beautiful message from Daddy. I still remember it because it was something new that time, and we were looking who is the guilty one and who is to blame, and Daddy said not to take sides. It was really like going above right away. Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Is there anything else you would like to tell for our beautiful spiritual angelic army about being prepared for? It's quite turmoil out there in the world, but here it looks peaceful. But anything you would like to give us, a rucksack or a package, not just tollies, but a spiritual tolly for us to go back home?
There was a question I was asked in the regional meeting just a couple of hours ago, and that was, how do you experience the Golden Age, and what happens if you're thinking about the Golden Age? And I'm thinking that one is this awareness of the home, and really to feel that it's my sweet home, and to be able to travel there again and again. And that's going to really make me detach from everything here. It's also going to give me that sense of absolutely that it's that time to be able to be there and go home. But the question about the Golden Age was also something that I'm going to think about more and more. Because yes, when I think about the Golden Age, I'm thinking about the quality of divinity of the souls. And I'm also thinking about the quality of relationships they have, rather than all the other external things that we see in pictures sometimes. And if I can keep that vision of the Golden Age in front of me and emerge that divinity, those deity sanskars, more and more together, we can actually make it happen very soon. The more we experiment with this, I remember a couple of years ago, a few sisters had got together, and it was Canada, Holland, many people together, and some of them are here in this gathering now. But just emerge, visualize the Golden Age, be there in the Golden Age, experience that now. And what we were doing was allowing souls to come into that awareness, so that we could make it happen now in our activity and behavior. But also I'm sure that that consciousness is going to make the reality of the Golden Age come closer and closer. You know, it's like when you're thinking about going on holiday somewhere, you're already in your mind's eye seeing the palm trees, the sea and the sun and all of that. And it becomes more and more real as the time passes by and the day actually comes. But you keep thinking about it. Well, that's temporary. But this is long term, bringing the Golden Age closer and closer. So I think that that's another experiment that will lift you above the despair of people around you. Because I'm sure that even as soon as you leave the campus and go somewhere out there here, the heaviness of the atmosphere is something you feel. And I was just thinking, you know, here's Dubai and it's so glamorous. That's the word for it. But what's happening there today? There's fear. There must be an atmosphere of great heaviness. And I don't know whether it's despair, but certainly big time heaviness. So wherever it is we go back to, the atmosphere will be different to what we had left. It'll be an atmosphere that's heavy. And there's going to be an economic repercussion of all of this. And things were already tight in many, many homes in many countries. This morning, in Shantivan, they made an announcement. There's not just the big kitchen, but like many of the cottages have their own kitchens. And so this was an announcement made from the stage, because it wasn't applicable to, if it was 20,000 people there this morning, it was applicable only to about 20 people. But the person made the announcement on the stage, a Madhava Nivasi, and was a bit surprised. But what he said was that normally when your gas cylinder runs out, you go to the people who keep the stock and they'll be able to give you a cylinder. Well, remember, we're not getting any supplies of gas cylinders at the moment, and we don't know when we're going to be getting them. So be economical with your use of gas. Now, what's it going to be like when I see the gas bill when I get home? Or maybe there are some countries where there won't be any gas available. And it's still winter. Here we've moved already into summer. Spring, I don't know what happened to spring, but certainly from winter we've moved into summer now. And it's downstairs, it's quite hot. Here it's quite pleasant. But the point is that where it's cold or where you're cooking is just with gas and you don't have any gas anymore, what's going to be? It's going to be a very heavy atmosphere. Brahmins will say, we can manage. You know, we've been having this training from Baba for years to be adapting to every situation. And we travel a lot. So travel anyway makes you very flexible and you have to adapt wherever you are. But other people don't have that same training. You know, when Baba says army, Baba's been putting us through a very gentle training to prepare us for anything and everything. But the world out there, they thought comfort is going to be with them forever and ever. And suddenly, there isn't that. How will they manage? Their feelings will be very tight, they'll be very heavy. And so we have to make sure we're not impacted by their feelings, but also we have to then be able to uplift them so that they're able to come to an awareness of soul, a spiritual consciousness, and through that, an awareness of God and the home, because they have to be able to know God. That's for sure. Every soul has to have that samskar of knowing God, a little tiny bit at least. There can't be any child of God who's left without that. So our spiritual consciousness can prepare them in that way for soul and God and home.
Beautiful. Maybe we go for the last question. Yeah? And thank you for reminding about the winter and the summer, because when I left Finland it was minus 15 and I don't want to think about how it feels when there's no electricity. So a lot of also physical preparation needed. So let's look at the crystal ball. Last time we left from Madhuban, I'm sure you remember, Chandipen said, it's going to be more difficult to travel to Madhuban. And we practically see it, travel to Madhuban and travel away from Madhuban. What do you see in your crystal ball?
Things getting more and more challenging. And so I need to be more and more light to be able to manage with everything that's happening around me. Just stay in that awareness of the light that you are and keep shining.
Thank you, Chantipen.
Thank you for your questions. I mean, if you'd had to throw away all your prepared questions and come up with new ones, you did pretty well.
Thank you.